Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. You're listening live to the... Good evening, guys, and thanks for listening in to the show. You're listening live to the Frank Williams Show, and I am your host, Frank Williams. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Those who are listening via my show page live online at Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in to the show. And those who are listening via landline or cell phone, thank you guys for tuning in to the show as well. 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. That's where you can call into the show and listen live as we put out every word. And if you want to give your opinion or comment on the show, you can just press the number one on your keypad while you're up on the show, and I will put you on the air with myself. And you can get put out there your opinion, your comment, whatever you have, okay? Again, the call-in number to the show is 818-301-5834. That's 818-301-5834. Now, today's word of the day is liminal. Liminal or liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L. Liminal is an adjective, and it means of, relating to, or being an intermediate state, phase, or condition. In between, or transitional, is liminal is being in an intermediate state, okay? Or, you know, like if you're traveling from Georgia to Texas, all that stuff in between is your liminal state. That means you're in between, or you're transitioning from one place to the other. Okay, so that is liminal, your word of the day. Now, let's see. The weather right now, it's raining here in the ATL. Right now, it's 75 degrees right now, they say, and heavy storms in the ATL. Looked at a high of 92. I think we've already got close to that, but not quite 92. And tonight, we're going to be low of 70 degrees, all right? So right now we had some heavy thunderstorms, and looking at 75 degrees right now. All right, that's your weather. Tomorrow we're looking at 91, partly cloudy. Wednesday, 92, partly cloudy. Thursday, 92, and partly cloudy. You know, as these temperatures are heavy, you know, high temperatures, 90s, 95, almost 100. These thunderstorms pop up. You know, they blow in and blow out. They come in just as quick as they go out. Okay? They come in just as quick as they go out. So that's your weather for the next couple of days. And I appreciate you guys tuning in to the show. I see there are more people joining the show right now, and thank you guys for tuning in. Looks like you guys are flooding studio right now, but that's totally fine with me. I like that. And looks like I know there are a lot of people asking me when am I going to talk about the shooting, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. When are you going to talk about it? What you think about all this and that? I said, well, listen to the show, and I'll tell you, you know. So I wanted to do my show today on this. But before we get into the show, today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on Duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether you have personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. And don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you. All right, now, guys, I know a lot of people saying, Frank, where you been over the last week or so? Well, I was on vacation last week, and so I wasn't able to do the show. I was gone on vacation, so I'm back. Today is Monday, and it's 6:30, and I'll be with you for the rest of the week. Okay? So today's show is entitled, We Don't Condone Killing Innocent People, but we understand the frustration. And you know, the frustration that is building in the black community is evidently coming to a head. So we're going to discuss the possible solution to this growing problem with the police and black people in their communities. Now, one of my biggest things, and I had a caller on my show a while back that said that a big problem with the police department is that, you know, you come into a city. Let's take Atlanta for example. I know Atlanta's a gigantic city, this and that. But you got Atlanta, and you have the police chief or whatever. Okay, they're probably, and I don't know this for sure, but there are probably more white cops in Atlanta than it is black cops. That may not be true, but I don't know. I'm just saying. That's a high probability, okay? Probably amongst any county, city, or whatever, police department. And what I'm saying is when we were growing up in the 70s, okay, that's what I can remember, all right, in the 70s, mid to late 70s. And when we were growing up, there were police officers in our community, in our neighborhood, that were people who lived and who lived in that community. I remember I had a neighbor on the next street over. He lived in our community. We grew up together. He became a lieutenant at the police department. And we saw his face when he was on patrol. He was in our area. There was another guy that went to a high school, not the high school that I went to, but a local high school that lived in the community, and he became an Atlanta police officer. And he was put in his community to police his community. Now, I think that's brilliant because if you think about it, think about your community where you grew up. And then think about if you had come up and went through high school or whatever, did your thing, and then you decided you wanted to become a police officer. And they put you in your community where you grew up. You're going to patrol your community where you grew up. You're not going to go out here to some community you never heard of or you never even been to and start going and go in there and try to police their community. Okay? That's tough. That's what's going on with these white cops. That's what's going on with the white cops, is they're being put in these black communities, police these black communities. They never been in the black community. They don't know about the black community, but they getting stationed in these black communities. Let's step back for a minute. What I'm saying is if you're going to put a, say, for instance, you went to the, got, you know, went through the academy, now you're a police officer, and they put you in your community. Now, if you're, if you knew people in your community who lived in areas and stuff like this, and then you get called to that area for, let's say, some domestic violence. Now, when you get there, when you get to the scene in your community now, think about it. When you get to the scene in your community, you're like, oh, man, this James and Allison. Man, I grew up with y'all. We went to elementary school together. We went to high school together. We played recreation ball together. We swam together in the community pool in the summertime. You know, we played baseball together. We played basketball together. You know, you dated this guy such and such who also went to high school with us and this and that. Now, you as a person in the community, now you're a policeman in the community, now you're policing the community, the very community that you grew up in. Don't you think that when you go on the scene at James and Allison's house, that, and you know James or you know Allison, one or the other, or you might may know them both, that you would be able to de-escalate that situation, excuse me, that you would be able to de-escalate that situation? I probably would be able to de-escalate that situation pretty quickly. If I go in the community, I'm the police, and I know these people who's causing this domestic violence, okay? I think I'd be able to de-escalate that situation. When I say de-escalate, that means I'm bringing the situation back down to a respectable level and no one's shouting at each other and we're starting to get somewhere as far as resolving what's going on. And so then if I'm able in that community and I'm able to de-escalate that situation, let's flip it around. A white cop never lived in this community, but has been put in this community to police this community, comes in and starts talking to James and Allison, trying, okay, maybe, to de-escalate the situation. Do you think they're going to listen to him? They're going to be like, hey, you know, get this white boy's ass out my house. Okay? Or, you know, whatever. But he's not going to be able to de-escalate that situation. But when we were growing up, that's exactly how it was. you had people within the community that became cops and were put in the community to police that community. Now, again, too, okay, and this may not be a good thing. It may be a good thing. I don't know. But I'm sure that there were some times when some of these guys who grew up in the community and they are policing the community have come across things that where, you know, other people probably would have been in handcuffs and taken to jail. Because it's in your community and you know the people who they are, you de-escalate the situation by saying, hey, man, you need to tighten up. Stop selling dope on these corners because I catch you again, it's going to be a problem. Okay? Get off the corner. Okay? Or I've caught you with this. Now, I'm not going to take you to jail, but I'm going to take this and dispose of it. I'm going to dispose of it right now. Catch you again, it's going to be a problem. That's the way you de-escalate the situation. That's who should be in your community. People that look like you, grew up around here or whatever, and knows how to de-escalate these type situations. Not the white cops who don't have a clue as to how black people live. They know nothing about this community. Now, do you think people are going to cooperate with them? And I'm saying this is because the solution to white cops killing innocent black kids. I call them kids because they're a lot younger than I am. Killing these innocent black kids, unarmed, is because they can't relate. They not a part of that. They weren't a part of that community. And, you know, I take this situation where the guy that was shot in the chest, shot six times at point blank range by the police officers. This guy was supposedly outside selling CDs. He hustling to feed his family. Now, if there was a black cop that grew up in that community, he would have been like, hey, I think the guy named Alton. Don't quote me on that, but I think the guy's name was Alton. Alton, man, come on now. You know you can't be selling CDs right here in front of the store. Okay? You can go somewhere else and sell your CDs, but you can't sell them here. The store owner complaining about you. So take your stuff and go somewhere else. And he took his stuff and he's gone. He lived. But I guarantee you the white cops took it to a different. They escalated it instead of de-escalated it. And he got upset. And he may have been resisting arrest. I don't know the details of it. But I do know that he didn't deserve to lose his life. 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. I have a caller from the 678 area code. The first three digits are 698. Let's see, caller, you're live on the Frank Williams Show. Who's this and where you calling from?
Hey, Frank, it's Fred Washington.
Fred, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, you know I just listening in to your show. Saw your topic, man, and you know I had to chime in on this one.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, man. Everything you said is, you know, I agree with it as well. But another thing is that white cops cannot relate to what's going on in the community, you know, and we all have, black and white have different outlooks on things and how to handle things. But along with that, of course, is the prejudice in it, you know, the profiling. And one of the things that I think would have curbed a lot of this white cops killing young black men is if they was actually being prosecuted for the things that they are doing. Because if you have no repercussions for your wrongdoings, you're going to keep doing it. And it seems like once they saw that nothing's going to happen, more and more just chimed in on it and say, you know, they don't give it a second thought now. I can just kill them and just, you know, because I know I'm going to get away with it. And the whole system that is the grand jurors and everything that's not prosecuting them, you know, that's like their own people. You know, it's like me and you being in the same game, you know, but we're going to discipline each other. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we, you know, I don't condone the killing. If somebody's going to go out and do it, and I'm not telling them to, at least get the ones who are out there killing the black people instead of just shooting innocent people, you know, just because they're cops, because all cops are not bad by a long shot, you know.
Right.
I have family members who are cops, and it's – but now one thing, if I could, won't take me but a few seconds I wanted to throw in there as well. I was watching those protests and how the gang members put down their guns and, you know, they all chime in together and they hollering Black Lives Matter. Another point we need to be thinking about, too, is all these black-on-black crimes. And the gang member who put down their guns for a week or two, once all this dies down, then what? They're going to be out there killing each other again and destroying the black community with the dope. So we have a couple of phases that we have to, and maybe one day you can do a show on that, but we have a couple of phases of things that, you know, we're going to have to be addressing to stop a lot of this what's going on.
Right. And you made a good point, and I think, you know, I heard a guy say on TV the other day where the solution lies for this white cop in black communities and all this stuff, police in black communities, where the solution lies is right there, but in the community, the relationship between police and the people in the community. See, police now, you see some of these videos on Facebook and this and that, you know, where police in the neighborhood or whatever, and they stop and get out and maybe shoot a couple of hoops with some of the kids that are in the street shooting basketball, things like that. That stuff there, you know, it happens very few and far between. That's something that need to happen in the communities. You need to get these cops to come in, get out of their cars, talk to people, and do it just about every day. I mean, you policing these folks every day. You riding through the neighborhoods every day. You seeing these same people. You seeing these same houses and all this stuff. You know, you know who the crazies are and all this. I mean, you need to go in that community and get out of your car, you and your partner or whatever you're doing, get out of your car and start, you know, meeting some of these people, talking to them. The only reason you go in there is because you done got a call that said somebody fighting or whatever, and now you go in, and now you got to police this community, and you don't know nobody in the community. Somebody, you know, you scared as hell because, you know, you worried about somebody walking up behind you or you know, shooting at you or whatever. But if you go in the community sometimes and sit and talk with these folks, I mean, you go in, man, and pull your car in and stop and get out and sit on the hood of your car and talk to some of these kids.
Yeah, because the kids need to see you do more than come in and lock people up. You know,
right.
They need to see more than that. I mean, they know and they can get an understanding, because just imagine what it's doing to the kids' psyche when that's all they see from the police. They're going to not gonna respect the police. You know,
right.
They're always going to have attitudes against them, which help perpetuate the situation, because a lot of times we don't help the situation with the way we act, but it's understandable, because all we see the police come in to do is taking dad to jail, cousin to jail, brother to jail, you know, and dogging them out in the process. You need to build a rapport with the community, and that's the only thing that's really going to help. And for them to get an understanding of black people and how they live and why we do some of the things that we do, and that a lot of things that they see could be a real problem, to us it's just like everyday things, and if they handle it in a different way, you could get much better results.
Absolutely. There you go. I know, and I know we're not the first people to think of this. I know we're not. You know, somebody need to implement this stuff into these police everyday lives. I mean, they, you know, it should be a part of their route every day. It's to, you know, pull up, jump out of your car and talk to some people in your community, man. If you talk to people in your community where you police, that's a less likely chance of you being harmed in your community, because you a friendly face in your community.
Yep.
So,
you remember back when we were kids, when I was in the first grade, and the cops used to come by and hand over those little tablets with Officer Friendly on it.
Officer Friendly, right.
You know, that's the way we grew up seeing them.
That's the way we grew up seeing them. You know, we weren't scared of the police when we were growing up. But now, man, all these kids, man, they scared of the police. They worried about the police. And I can't blame them. I can't blame them. Hey, Fred, I appreciate your call, man. Keep listening to the show.
So, you know, I got you.
All right. I have another caller from the 678 area code. The first three digits are 398. Caller, you're live on the show with Frank Williams. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Laura. I'm calling from Atlanta. I just wanted to agree with the first caller that, you know, until some of these cops get prosecuted, you know, it's not going to change. You know, this is supposed to be America. We should be able to go in whatever community that we want to go in and not fear, you know, the police. I mean, why do they have guns pulled out for traffic stops? I mean, why are you drawing guns on people, you know, sitting behind the wheel of a car? So, you know, I think they're just inherently afraid of black men. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I don't know how black men got this bad rep, or black people in general. But, I mean, you see white people talking to the cops any kind of way. They got a video on Facebook where this dude is beating up the cops, but they got tasers on him. They don't have their guns pulled out. I mean, he's fighting the cops, and they just got tasers on him. So, I mean, why do they have guns drawn? That's my issue with the police. It's just the different treatment that they treat different people. So it's all about education. It's about, you know, prosecuting some of these racist police out here. So that's what it is. It's racism, pure and simple. And until they get prosecuted, you know, I understand the frustration. I understand why a young black man might lose it and say, you keep taking these lives, I'm going to take some. It's not right, it's not right, and it's not right how the black men are getting killed either. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Laura from Atlanta. So keep listening to the show. And again, that's exactly right. Until these cops start going to prison for killing these, you know, innocent black kids, and you know, because if a cop go to prison, he not going to make it too long. They know that. But until you start to putting these cops in prison, prosecuting them for wrongdoings, then they're going to continue to do. 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. You guys can call in and, again, listen live on the show, and you can press the number 1 on your keypad, and I'll put you on the air and let you comment or give your opinions about the show. Now, as far as this guy that did the shooting in Dallas, again, we don't condone that. We're not with what he did. That's not what we want to get into. So we're not with that. We're not with killing innocent people. Okay? And but the frustration that this guy has gone through, I know he went to the military, some type of Army Reserve or something. He's spent about a year and a half in Afghanistan. We don't know what he'd been through. We don't know what he had gone through. He's living with his mom. He was living with his mom now, and no telling what he was planning on doing. No telling what he was looking at online, on the internet, whatever. But he got to a point where he said that, man, I can maybe do something about this. I mean, he went about it the wrong way, for sure. But that's, you know, that was his thinking. Is that I'm going to take my rifle, I'm going to go downtown because that's where the Black Lives Matter protest is going to be, or Black Lives Matter march is going to be. I know the police are going to be there with them. So I'm going to take down a few of these police officers because they've been taken down. Not specifically those cops. Like the caller said, it isn't those cops that killed these guys. It's other cops. But he just want to kill cops, white people. And it's, you know, they talk about him killing white cops and killing white people. But what did the Ku Klux Klan do? The Ku Klux Klan, they went around, they'll drag a black person out of their house, in their front yard, tie a rope around their neck, throw it around the tree, pull them up until their feet dangle from the ground. And what is that? You grabbing innocent people and killing them. Okay? Just because of the color of their skin. It's the same thing this guy did. He shot and killed innocent people just because of the color of their skin. He hurt a lot of people. I don't like it because, you know, you go back and you look at their families. Man, that's somebody's son. That's somebody's husband. Somebody's brother. You know, that's bad. Okay? Try to get in a group or something and try to get your frustrations out within a group. Talk. Find somebody to talk to and try to get your frustrations out that way. You know, do something that's going to help you. Do something physical that's going to help you get some of your frustrations out. Do something like that, but don't go around killing people. You can't do that. See, you lose your – he lost his life for doing that. You lose your life for doing that. Either be killed or go spend the rest of your life in prison. Which one do you want? 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. So, but the frustration that he grabbed, he had, was from the killings. You know, I got upset because CNN kept reporting about how they shot and killed 5 officers, wounded 12. You know, he shot 12 people, killed 5, whatever. They talk about, and then they showing these guys who they killed on the TV, and this guy, he just got married 2 weeks ago, and this and that, and this and that. Well, let's go back to why this guy shot these folks. You're losing sight of what happened before that. You're losing sight of the guy who sat in, got pulled over by a cop because his light was broken. I've been pulled over by the cop for my taillight being broken. Okay? But the cop didn't come up to me with his gun pulled out. And when the cop came up to me, I asked the cop, can I get out and look at my taillight? Oh, yeah, get out, come on around and look at it. I got out and looked at it. I said, okay, I'll get it fixed. Okay? He gave me a warning. I left. He policed my community. And so, but how are you going to pull someone over for a busted taillight and you get out of your car? This is the police now. You get out of your car and you got your gun drawn. Why do you have your gun drawn for a taillight being busted? I mean, did you call in the tag number and they told you that this is a someone who's wanted for murder? This is a car that was used in an armed robbery that killed somebody. This and that. Is that what happened? Now I can see you coming up to the car with your guns drawn then, because the person could be dangerous. But not just because you're pulling them over for a taillight being busted. Come on, man. Then you got your gun out and you're pointing it at the guy, and you see he's got a female in the car, and you see he's got another little girl, 4 years old, in the back seat. Now, for me, if I was a cop, I would have laid down right then. I would have put my gun back in my holster and been like, "Oh man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pull my gun on you like that. Something. Can I see your license and your registration, man? Let me see. I'm sorry. Apologize to the little girl. Apologize to the girl." But he shoot and kill the guy. And then we found out that this guy is a really, really upstanding citizen. Okay? A really upstanding citizen. And you're going to shoot this guy in cold blood, dead, in front of his fiance and her 4-year-old daughter. And the mayor of that city said that it was strictly racial. It was strictly racial. So this police officer, not only should he lose his job, but he should be in jail right now for murder. He should be in jail. He shouldn't be walking the street suspended or whatever, still on the street. He should be in jail right now for murder, awaiting his trial. If you go out there and kill someone in cold blood right now, they're going to lock you up, no bail, and you're not going to get out until your trial comes through and you've been found innocent. You're not going to get out of jail. So what makes a police officer better than you or me? It should be nothing. The guy that had the guy pinned down on the ground, two police officers on this guy. Yeah, he may have been resisting arrest. Okay? He may have been resisting arrest, but you got two guys on you? And then why couldn't they, if he was resisting arrest, why couldn't they use their taser guns or whatever they have, them electric things that hit you, shock you? Why couldn't they use that? Why did he have to pull his revolver out and shoot this guy 6 or 7 times, point blank range, in the chest? That's cold-blooded murder. Now, he should be in jail right now. No bail, awaiting his trial. That's the problem with what's going on in the community with the police and the black community. Now I'm saying I'm always dumbfounded because I'm asking people all the time, man, why don't we hear about these black cops killing these white kids, innocent white kids? Why don't we hear about that? What do y'all think is the deal there? Why don't you hear about black cops killing white kids? Hey, Fred, I know you're still up on the show. I know you're still there. Give me some type of answer for that. You're back up on the air now. Tell me that. Why don't we hear about black cops killing white kids? White kids out there doing some dirty stuff now. They doing more stuff than black kids are.
The only thing I can see about that is because it's not happening. Plain and simple as that. It's not happening. And if it does happen, you best believe it's something that the white kids are doing to where the police had no choice but to shoot them.
Yeah.
To see black people approach, black cops approach white people differently even than from the way they approach us.
Yeah.
They have this fear of knowing if you just cross the line even just a little bit with a white person, chances are you're going to be reprimanded for it. You know, you may be suspended. You may get some stripes taken from you. But they know if they do black people the way that we are being done, a lot of times we don't report the cops for some of the things that, you know, they do to us.
Yeah.
So a lot of white cops, at first of all, know this because the situation happened to me where me and my friend was pulling around, pulled in the parking lot just to turn around because traffic going one way was heavy up at Buckhead. And we turned around, and as we came out of our turn, two white cops had came off the porch of this restaurant, which was closed, and told us we need to get out of the car because they know how we like to smoke blunts. Just point blank, you know.
Yeah.
Snapped us out of the car, searched the car and everything. And I reported them, you know. I checked on it, but nothing came of it. So
right.
Black cops approaching white people, I think they're more conscious of they want to be careful about what they do and how they treat them because they don't not only would they be reported, but something will be done about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what pisses me off too is that they call this guy a big coward and all this, and you know I wouldn't look at it as a coward. I think just been pushed over the edge. But what about the cops? When they say 148 black men have been killed by cops, were they calling any of them cowards?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So they always perpetuate us in the worst light possible and run it over and over. But when the white cops do something, not only is the judicial system not doing anything, but the news try to do as less, you know, as far as reporting it and making them sound as bad as they really are.
Yeah.
Because the old people had families as well, not just the two who just got killed, but all 148 of them, they had families too.
That's right.
But we don't hear
that. Right. That's right. Hey, Fred, I appreciate your call, man. We out of time. Hey, join the show tomorrow, guys. Same place, same time, right here on the Frank Williams Show. I'll see you guys in about 23 and a half hours. This is Frank. I'm over, and I'm out. I'll see you.
From here to there.